Hey there, everybody. Welcome out to another episode of Redeemed Through His Blood. Scott Durfee here, joined, as always, by the beautiful Deb Durfee. What's up, babe?
Hey, everybody. Hello, friends.
How sings, Deb?
So good.
Good.
It's still summer. I'm still enjoying the sunshine.
You know, people are going to be listening to this in the winter time.
Thinking, I know, but yeah. I'll probably be listening to it in the winter time.
Or friends who are in the southern hemisphere right now.
Do you remember when it was so nice and warm outside? There's sometimes I walk out of a restaurant or a grocery store when it's the air conditioner's high and cold, and I walk out, and the very first thing I say when I walk in that heat, I actually say it quite loud, is I yell, "I love summer."
Yeah. All of the heat and everything. We know it's winter time in the southern hemisphere. Those in
yes, it is.
Australia and New Zealand. And we have quite a few listeners down there. We have two semi-new listeners down there, David and Chris. I've got an exchange, a couple of emails recently, today actually, with him. And they're having a great time in the Australian winter near Sydney. I can't remember the name of the
Canberra or something?
Canberra, yeah. The federal federal capital, I think he called it. But
they're going to be teaching.
You know what? That's so cool, right? So yeah. We just found out that David and Chris will be actually teaching the divine gift of forgiveness as part of their mission assignment in Australia.
Epic.
They have been kind of assigned to work with young single adults. Apparently, there's many... a huge number of them that are not involved, and that's definitely going to change when they get to meet David.
They'll all become friends.
They'll
love them.
Yeah, they won't be able to stay away, that's for sure. Well, great stuff. Had a great topic last week. We said that we would kind of revisit a couple of things that we ended with last week. But before we do that, Deb, I just remembered I wanted to share something. Don't let me forget what I just said, that we're going to be moving into the topic here in just a second. But, you know, I had the shoulder surgery.
Yes.
And yesterday I went in for my physical therapy. It was my second visit for physical therapy. I'm only going once a week. I'm healing like super fast.
It's he's a turbo crazy. Healer.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast I'm healing. It's awesome.
I think you set an intention prayed.
The physical therapist says to me, first thing he says, "So how's recovery going?"
Oh my gosh, I know where you're going with this.
You know, at the very beginning of our podcast, we talk about, I don't know if it was episode 1, 2, 3, somewhere in there, though, we talk about who we are and our identity. And you know, much of who we are is how we hear and how we view the world is through the lens of our identity. Yeah. And I had a really great example of that yesterday, because when he said to me, "How's the recovery going?" I answered him. Quickly, too. "Oh, it's going great, man. I went to a meeting Saturday morning."
You did not.
I did.
I love this.
I said I went to a meeting Saturday morning. It was Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I don't really go to the church meetings much, I told him.
You're telling your PT this.
Yeah.
Scott Durfee. That's hilarious.
And he's looking at me like, holy cow.
What are you talking about, mister?
He had this look on his face like, you know, I'm not quite sure. And I just started laughing. And I you know, because obviously he meant my shoulder recovery. he's my physical therapist. I'm thinking he's meaning the recovery that really matters to me.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so
you did not tell me this.
I know. I was going to wait till the podcast. So I'm telling you now.
This is hilarious.
I know. But it was awesome. He loved it, and it gave us an opportunity to talk about a few things, including the podcast. So maybe he's listening and laughing, too.
Let's talk about the recovery that you're here for. That's pretty funny.
It was cool, though. He was like, 26 years sober, man. That's awesome, you know. And he had a couple questions and stuff, but I think they were mostly by way of trying to ease the discomfort that he thought I was feeling. I didn't care. I don't care about that stuff.
But. He was probably feeling it. He's like, what are you talking about?
Probably made him a little uneasy, but.
That's hilarious.
I know.
I cannot believe you instantly
went there. Well, there's
lesson
in that. There's lesson in that. You know, and this is what I take away from. In fact, I thought about this. In fact, I told him this. I says, you know, isn't it funny how The lens that we see our identity, or that our identity provides for us, the lens that we see the world from, is much shaped because of our identity, who we are, who we see ourselves as, and stuff like that. So,
yeah, our perception is our reality for sure.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, Institute went really great last week.
It was a great class.
Always is.
Yeah.
Always is. We're winding down, though. We only have two more classes left in this semester, and then we'll begin a brand new semester. I'm looking forward to that, too. Have a lot of new people, new freshmen from all over the world.
We had new ones this last week.
Yeah, we did.
We had half of our class. Yeah, half of our class was all new. So to try to link it to last week's lesson, and it's
summer semesters are really challenging to maintain any kind of continuity. It's almost like you have to teach 14 standalone lessons. You know,
that's true. We should remember that.
Yeah, well, we try to, but it's still important that we talk about things that we talk about.
It's true. So. It was great. It was a great class.
It was awesome.
Oh, the funny thing is, this was really cool. When we drove up into the parking lot,
there was
a truck pulling a trailer that had a four-wheeler in it and some kayaks. And I said, wow, that looks like a good time. And then as we drove further into the parking lot, we saw that the hood of the truck was up. And Scott said, that doesn't look like a good time.
No.
That broken down truck. Needless to say, long story short, we went into our class, taught our class, and two of the kids that were in that broken truck, they were from up north from us, about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
North of us.
Yeah.
And they were heading down an hour and a half south of us. They came into our Institute class.
Yeah.
And they're like, took notes. They were both returned missionaries. They were great, great contributors to the class. It was a treat. So I was like,
yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that was epic. Yeah. I wish I could remember their names. And I'm sorry I don't remember your names, but boy, do I remember your faces. They were great contributors.
Somewhere up north, Clinton.
Logan, I thought he said.
Somewhere way up there.
Yeah. And they were going down to Farron Reservoir.
That part I remember. And I remember those handsome devil kids. They were just good looking, great kids, cousins that had been away from each other for a while.
For a couple of years because they've been both serving missions.
Yeah. Looking to having a great time. A
little shout out to them. That's awesome.
Pretty amazing. Amazing. So, well, okay. Last week this week we will continue our discussion around the conditional effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ. So just kind of to do a little bit of a recap, I'm going to go all the way back. I'm not going to recap the unconditional effects, but to just kind of maybe help us regain some clarity around what this is all about, what this means. When we talk about the unconditional effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ, these are the things that we don't deserve. These are the things that we don't earn.
Isn't that everything?
No. No, it's not everything.
We don't really earn that much, do we?
No, but we deserve consequences sometimes, right?
That's true.
We align with pain, we get pain. We align with sin, we get, you know, the consequences of sin and all of those other things. But the unconditional effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ are in large part a response to the fall of Adam and Eve. Okay?
Yeah.
The conditional effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ, and I think this will be our third or our fourth, I think this will be our third episode on the conditional effects of the fall of the atonement of Jesus Christ. The conditional effects are in response to the fall of, in my case, in response to the fall of Scott Durfee, my own personal fall.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about the conditional effects, these are the ones that sometimes are the ones that we desire so deeply. These are the ones that are in response to things that are difficult or ugly or scary or big or all of those uncomfortable adjectives that you could come up with. This is where all of that is taken care of. Either taken away, or we're strengthened to deal with it, or we're compensated because of it, and all of that. And, you know, maybe we should recap the ones that we've talked about so far in terms of what are the conditional effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ. The first one is redemption from sin, right? And so we know that we're redeemed as we repent and come unto Him. That we are redeemed from our sin. And so we know that number two is kind of the strengthening and enabling power. We know that we have that. We also know that that comes by way of some of the conditional effects, because through our alignment and through our keeping the commandments, we get greater strength and greater enabling power, etc. And then compensating and in fairness for suffering. And again, we talked a little bit about that last week as part of some of the conditional effects as well. But there is a ton, there are a ton of blessings that are going to come to us for our suffering and the unfairness that came to us that are just completely unconditional.
Yeah.
Right. And then what was the next one, Deb, after that?
Healing and comfort. We haven't covered that one yet, but the last question we asked on our last podcast was, if justice demands repayment for our sins, what does it demand for our undeserved pain? And as we thought about that and reflected on that the last week, I can almost put large amounts of cash down that all of us has experienced undeserved pain, things that just are not fair.
Yeah.
Because life is not fair. And even, I mean, and it could be, you know, as simple as a child not getting their way in the grocery store or the gas station or,
yeah.
you know,
yep.
But we all as mortals have experienced unfairness.
So this is kind of where we ended last week.
Yes.
Right. Was when we were talking about compensation for unfairness and suffering.
Right.
And we did say that, you know, that was exactly the one of the last things that we said that we would talk about. I mean, that we did talk about and that we said that we would revisit is that question. And you said it, I'll just repeat it. If justice demands repayment for our sins, what does it demand for our undeserved pain? Let's just stop for just a second and revisit. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we were in Alma chapter 42. Right? We were talking yep. about justice and mercy. Remember the conversation?
I do remember that.
I'm going to go to Alma 42. We're going to start in 24. And remember this question. So the question is,
if justice demands repayment for our sins, what does it demand for our undeserved pain or unfairness even?
Any kind, right?
Yes.
So this is Alma 42:24. For behold, justice exercises all his demands, and also mercy claimeth all which is her own, and thus none but the truly penitent are saved. What do you suppose, that mercy can rob justice? I say unto you, nay, not one whit. If so, God would cease to be God. Just that verse alone, Deb, or that little part of that alone, we know that justice has to be satisfied. It has to be satisfied. And so, you know, we always think of justice on our end, exacting justice against me, right?
Right.
If I make a mistake, then justice demands that I pay for that mistake, or that mistake be paid for. Obviously, not my merit, but his. We'll right. talk about that later. But it nonetheless has to be paid for. But what about unfairness? Justice demands equality. It demands that all unfairness be made fair.
And it's, you know, we get promised that in the end, it will all be made right. And if it isn't made right, it's not the end.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah,
there's a quote in The Divine Gift of Forgiveness in chapter 8 that talks about...
What page are you on?
219. And the chapter is Generous Restitution. It's the bottom of... It's the last paragraph on page 219. But it says, you may never receive an acknowledgement, a sincere apology, a humble regret, or an attempt to make restitution from the person who has offended you or harmed you. I'm sure a lot of us have pictures to go with those words. If this is your situation, be assured that the greatest comfort or peace you will ever receive will come from relying on the healing power of God. As you go to Him, you will feel His love. His love can bind and heal your wounds, however deep or old they are, or they may be. I have it highlighted and blocked around. I just, you know, I definitely have pictures to go with these words. And I am so grateful that I have a loving God that will give me the greatest comfort and or peace that I will ever receive. And I've had that experience. I've been able to, you know, feel little portions of his love through the restitution that I didn't receive.
Right, right. So you've been compensated.
Absolutely.
And that compensation came by way of the Spirit.
Yep. The Comforter.
The Comforter. I yep. love that. The yep. Comforter. Yeah, I love that. You're the primary president.
Yep.
When you talk about the Comforter, I'm going to go just a little bit sideways here for a minute, because this is important, the Comforter. When we talk about the Holy Ghost, the administrator of the atonement of Jesus Christ in our lives, and we know that compensatory blessings are part of those blessings. I mean, that's why we're talking about the conditional effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ. But the Comforter, you have a little kind of Holy Ghost presentation that you, it's not really a presentation, I don't know what I'd call it, but something when you tell the primary kids when they're getting baptized about the Comforter.
Yeah, we give them a towel that says, always remember him on it, and it has their date and the date that they got baptized in their name. And I remind them of the covenant that they make during that baptism. And I tell them, I remember when I was baptized and when all those priesthood holders put their hands on my head and gave me the most, I may cry, the most precious, sacred gift I possess and have ever, ever been given. But when those heavy hands on that little eight-year-old head were laid on my head and I heard those words, receive the Holy Ghost, I felt a tangible feeling.
Yeah.
I remember the power that came from that gift.
I do too.
And I tell these kids, listen to those words, feel it, and you will always remember it. And even when you're old like Sister Durfee, you'll remember it. Because it is such a sacred, and you know, I didn't realize what a gift it was then as much as I do now, but every year and every time I think about it, I just think, man, no greater gift has ever been given to me than that's the gift of the Holy Ghost, yeah. That Comforter.
The Comforter.
The warner.
We give our grandchildren who choose to be baptized, which isn't all of them, but those who do choose to be baptized, we give them a real Comforter.
Can we give them a blanket?
A blanket with their baptismal date embroidered into it. And we do the same thing. And that's when I think of the Comforter, and the reason I decided to go sideways on that for a minute, Deb, is because when we talk about the compensatory blessings of the atonement of Jesus Christ, they, for me, have always come by way of comforting feelings. I haven't been compensated financially. I haven't been compensated physically. And I'm not saying that those things can't happen. Certainly they can. All things are possible with God. However, for me, any time that I've needed, and I've received these compensatory blessings too. In fact, last week we said we wanted you to think about something that was unfair that you can now begin to see differently because of Christ's compensation in your life. And I have two. I'm not going to share them, but I have a couple of things specifically that I'm thinking about I have been focusing on since we made that
invitation
last week. In fact, that was part of my sacrament experience, was to commune with Heavenly Father in regard to these things. And the compensation has come, and it has come, didn't just come now, but it's been coming for many years in these situations. And it's going to probably, I'm going to probably need to have it come for many, many more years, maybe the remainder of my mortal existence. I don't know. But those comforting feelings come to me when I align with my Heavenly Father's will and I feel the atonement of Jesus Christ at work in my life, administered by the Comforter.
Yeah.
By the Holy Ghost.
And we also tell our Institute kids often, and we say it on our podcast often, that when you feel the gift of the Holy Ghost, you know that the atonement of Jesus Christ is working in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know you're being forgiven.
You know you're being forgiven of sin, or have been forgiven of sin.
Yep.
And you know that you're also being compensated and enabled and strengthened and all the other blessings of the atonement of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, what
Christ.
A powerful gift. Literally yeah, powerful yeah. gift.
Well, the next one, and so that was what we kind of ended with last week, was the compensation for unfairness and suffering. Obviously, it can be unconditional, but to the degree sometimes we need it, it does require effort and alignment on our part, which means that we come to Him. And you know, part of those compensatory blessings that come to me, and I think I just alluded to it, but we have it as its own kind of little category here, are blessings of healing and comfort.
Which we talked a little bit about just a minute ago with the Comforter.
Exactly. They kind of all tie in together.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean that he can heal us and comfort us?
Well, I have tangible experiences with that when my life was in shambles. And I've shared this in a previous podcast about just living in a circumstance that was very, very difficult. And I sought for His guidance by going to the temple. And I walked in pretty broken. And, you know, as I was broken and open, and I went and participated in those sacred covenants and sacred ordinances in the temple, I was able to walk out a completely different person because of the healing and comfort that came to me in that moment of crying out, literally.
I can think of a couple of situations in my life where this has been a real poignant experience for me to receive healing and comfort. And most of the time, maybe not most of the time, but certainly a lot of the time, that healing and comfort has come by way of process. It didn't just all of a sudden go away. You know, I wasn't all of a sudden healed. Mm-hmm. The comfort that I was feeling didn't all of a sudden take away all of the things that I felt like I needed comfort around.
Yeah.
It required effort on my part. And I think that what you just said was how it worked for me. You know, I remember the weeks prior to my getting sober. My life was in shambles. It was terrible. Everything was coming down around me. I was overwhelmed. I didn't know what, I was suicidal. I had planned my own demise and all of that stuff. And you know what, Deb? It was in my darkest moment when Heavenly Father literally reached down and snatched me, just like He did to those in the Book of Mormon. I was literally snatched out of my misery and woe, undeservedly. I was crying out. I was pleading, please help me. I can't do this anymore. And it was then, and only then, that I felt the beginning of this process of healing and this process of comfort that I needed so badly in my life. And you know, one of the scriptures that we refer to a lot about this, and it's really interesting. Before Deb and I came down to our little studio here to record the podcast tonight, our bishop and one of his counselors, both very close friends of ours, Deb and I both got to serve on the high council with this bishop, and his counselor that came was one of my counselors when I was in the Elders' Quorum president, and we just love these men. And they shared the experience about Benadi and King Noah, and where Benadi was quoting from this very scripture.
So funny. It was. I know. I was like, well, that was inspired.
This very,
no accidents.
This very scripture in Isaiah 53. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I'm going to go on with 5. But He was wounded for our transgression, and He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed.
I love that.
Yeah. I really have to keep going. Verse 6. And we like sheep have gone astray. And I, Scott Durfee, like sheep have gone astray. Period. It's just how it is. I have gone astray. And we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Even though I went astray, he laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And then at the very end of 8, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. He's paid for it.
Yeah. It reminds me of the scripture in Alma 7.
One of our favorites.
On 12. Yeah, 7. Alma 7, verse 12. And he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death, which bind his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. He came here. He felt it. He knows. Whatever we have, whatever is our darkest, hardest Gethsemane,
yeah,
he felt it.
Yeah.
Deeper, harder, lower than all, because he suffered for all. I think about that, and I think of the things that I have been through, and I'm like, how in the world? He had to be godlike to
he had to
endure.
Be God.
Yes.
Yeah.
To endure that kind of pain,
right,
and suffering, yeah, and infirmities.
All the iniquities, all the injustices, all the infirmities.
Yes.
All the sin.
Yeah.
All the pain.
And there's
all the
a lot.
Unfairness.
I mean, you hear things on the news now, and you hear things that are going on in the world and things that people are enduring, and you're like, how in the world did that ever happen? How could one man take upon all of that?
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
And we don't even know it all, but no, the little bit that we know is just absolutely,
yeah,
heart.
And that was what I was going to say. You know, we have no idea how it happened. We have no idea. I have no idea the process by which Jesus went through and suffered for all of the sins, all of the infirmities, all of the iniquities, all of the injustices, and so on, of all the world. I have no idea how in those moments in Gethsemane, because of his sinless life, because of his divine birthright, I just have no idea how all of that happened. But I know it did.
Yeah, me
but
too.
But I know that it did. And how do I know that it did? I know that it did, Deb, because it's made a difference in my life. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it make a difference in the lives of others.
Yeah.
Many of whom I love, yeah, deeply.
Which I love that we have the opportunity to testify, because we have had front row seat to this. And I think that's
so
what makes
miracles.
Us so passionate about this, as we share and get really raw and vulnerable in our Institute class, and as we share our stories on a platform that is open to the entire world, that it's like, what a gift to be able to testify that we know that he came here, lived a sinless life, that he suffered below all of it so that he could succor us, which means he knows how I felt.
Yeah.
He knows how you felt. And he knows how everyone felt that walked this planet that had any injustice, unfairness, any of that, so he could succor us. He loved us that much. I can't even fathom. And then I just think about Heavenly Father watching his son do that for all of his children. I weep saying it. I weep just saying it out loud, because that's a love I do not understand. One day I hope I will.
Yeah, I think our spirits understand, at least to a degree, that love, because that's really, I believe, the compensatory blessing. You say we have a front row seat to this. You know, we so often, and you know, we don't dwell on it or harp on it, but so often there's just a lot of tragedy in the recovery community. Mm-hmm. However, this weekend, I got to have a front row seat to a wonderful miracle. You remember Nick?
Yeah.
We had Nick on the podcast. Go back and listen to that. That podcast alone was a miracle, how he had gone from being home. I'm only sharing what he shared there. You should go listen to it. But how he had gone from being homeless and really at odds with anything of God and so on. But through recovery, through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and because of the divine gift of forgiveness,
he loved that book.
He fell in love with his Savior.
Yeah.
And when he fell in love with his Savior, he talked about how he just all of a sudden had this relationship, and that in and of itself was a miracle. Well, during during all that had happened, he lost his family. Guess what? But he has his family now again.
Yep.
They were remarried and
reunited
and forgiveness extended and hope amplified, all because of the atonement of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And those compensatory blessings are tangible. Tangible for that little family, tangible for me in my own life in so many ways, etc. So so awesome. You know, Deb, one of the things, and this was one of David's favorite scriptures in Matthew. This is a invitation that Jesus gives to us in Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28. And I just want to read this, and then let me get your take on it, babe, after I've read it. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Oh, I love that. That's one of my favorites too.
Yeah. Come unto me.
Because don't we all sometimes feel heavy laden?
Yeah.
Like life's hard and things come at us that feel really big and really hard. I love in 29 where he says, "I am meek." I have a sign, I wrote it down, that says meekness is not weakness. Because I think for a long time I thought that, but I studied the word meek for a while. And that humility and that humbleness, that softness, I just think about a meek Savior, and it's just... you can hear him in his most gentle words say, "Come to me." We had a sacred experience to be in the temple on Friday. And there's a ginormous picture of the Savior coming out of the tomb with Mary kneeling down to her. And I just stared at that picture of the Savior. And I just kept thinking, will I know you when you come? And I have an overwhelming feeling that, you know, I hope I will. But I just stared at that picture, just so longing to know his meekness and his lowly in heart. Because when you do push pause and be still and know that I am God, you definitely feel that healing comfort.
That painting that you're referring to, isn't it the one in the chapel?
Yeah, the waiting.
In the Orem Temple. Mm-hmm. That painting's one of my very favorites for all that it means. And incidentally and coincidentally enough, the artist of that painting's a friend of ours, Joe Bricky, who has also given us permission, and it's the image of Jesus that we use for the podcast logo.
That's right.
He gave us permission to use that. So pretty cool.
Yeah, I would like that mural on my wall to just stare.
I know.
It's so sacred.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Yeah, yeah. I love that too. This scripture that we just read is one that's super personal to me. You know, during my own times, you know, you talked about crying out, you know, during those times when I still cry out, but during those times when I was really making an effort to change my life, and I just had tried so many times, you know, Deb, for me, quit drinking was easy. I could quit drinking. I couldn't quit. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. There were times when I'd quit drinking, you know, 4 or 5 times in a day. I just couldn't stay stopped, you know?
Right.
But it wasn't until that crying out, wasn't until that I took this serious. Come unto me, all you that labor. I had been laboring with something that had been so difficult for me. And I know that many, maybe all, to a degree of our listeners can relate to this. There's just that something that I am struggling with sometimes that is so, that creates a distance between me and the Spirit. And it's so hard for me to maybe put it aside. But when I read, come unto me, all ye that labor, I had been laboring under the weight of that addiction for so many years, I had no other choice. It was, come unto me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. His yoke is easy. His yoke is me yoking with him. His burden is definitely light because he carried the burden. All I do is align with it and I get the healing blessings.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next conditional blessing that comes to us by way of Christ's atonement, Deb, there are transformation and sanctification blessings. What are we talking about here? Transformation and sanctification. Obviously not the same thing, so let's take them one at a time. What is transformation? Blessings of transformation.
Every time I think of transformation, I think of a butterfly that goes from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And transformation is literally, I went to my class reunion this last summer, June, last month,
yep.
A couple months ago.
Yeah.
And there were people that did not have any idea who I was. And there were people I didn't have any idea who they were. And I think about how life can transform us, you know, just living our life aging, living our life in whatever it is that we are. But the part of transformation here is allowing God to change us, to literally transform us into somebody that we're not. And I think that's why I love the broken heart. That being broken and open, it's not just our heart, but we have to be pliable. We hear a lot about, you know, the potter and the clay and how they need to be pliable and not stiff. But are we really willing to be transformed? I think that's a big question that we could ask is, you know, that transformation, for a long time, I didn't want to be changed. I liked things the way they were until it became such a mess that it was unmanageable. And I think until I allowed God to be in charge of my life and transform me into who he wanted me to be, then I realized you have a much better plan than I do. My idea of my plan is nothing, you know, nothing like it is. What I thought my life would be is nothing like it is today. And I give all of that gratitude to my Heavenly Father for allowing to transform me and I'm sure he has a lot more transforming to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely am not done. I've got a lot of enduring to do. And then also you add the sanctification. To sanctify is to make holy.
Right.
So change us and make us holy is definitely my will aligning to his will to do his perfected work.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
We talk about the atonement of Jesus Christ, and we all always go back to, we know that for sure that the atonement was so that we can be forgiven of our sin. Well, if we're talking about the atonement of Jesus Christ being also for our transformation, or in other words, we are changed as we put on the atonement. That's how I'll put it. That we're changed as we put on the atonement of Jesus Christ. What's the difference between being forgiven and being changed?
I don't know that there is a difference.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't think there is. Because when we truly practice repentance, we are changing. I mean,
so
we
right.
truly are changing.
Yeah.
In ways that sometimes we don't see because we're up close and personal and right in it. I think we don't realize the changes until, and I think that's why it's important, and I'm a hypocrite saying this, to journal.
Yeah.
Because when you write things down and you understand where you are in your mindset then, and then go back and read it to where you are today. I mean, for me personally, I have been so blessed with the understanding of the scriptures. I shared a little bit, you know, last week about how it was so hard for me to read, but what a gift that has been, just allowing that transformation in place. I got plenty of places to transform and sanctify, but
this is one of those that I think that, you know, there are probably a lot of our listeners. I know that there's obviously areas in probably all of our lives that transformation is still in process or needs to be put into process, and that can be scary, you know, especially especially the longer that we stay, I'll say, stuck in any type of OODA loop.
Yes.
You know, just doing the same
thing. And we all have it.
Over and
I
over
definitely
again.
Have pictures of those words.
Yeah, yeah. And so it can be scary. And so, again, the comforter, the administrator of the atonement of Jesus Christ has to be kind of at work in our lives in order for us to really be able to accomplish that. Again, so important for me that I live my life so that I can have the companionship of the Holy Ghost to help me with this too.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, one of the things that Dave asked me one time, he said, "Scott, what's more important, testimony or conversion?" And it should have been an easy answer. It wasn't at the time. This was 4 or 5 years ago, and it wasn't an easy answer. But after we discussed it, this is what we're talking about here. You know, testimony is I know that he can, right?
Mm-hmm.
I may even have some faith attached to I know that he can. But to let him, that's faith unto repentance, right? We go back to Mosiah chapter 4 and the faith and faith unto repentance and faith in the name of Jesus Christ. But then we have faith unto repentance, and it gives me action. It allows me to begin to take action. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
And so that kind of faith allows this sanctification, this transformation, the confidence to come, the spiritual confidence that can come only through Christ's atonement.
So you talked about the difference between a testimony and being converted. What is more important?
What do you think is?
Well, for sure, conversion.
Yeah.
Because I think knowing is not enough, and I am proof of that. I mean, being raised, you know, I knew when I was making a bad choice. I knew when I was doing things I shouldn't. And knowing is not enough, and I can testify of truth, but until I'm converted and until I have no more desire to make those choices, I think that's when the conversion comes in. I think that's when we can be changed by the atonement of Jesus Christ, to be have no more disposition to do that.
You know, when this really started to make sense to me is when I really broke down, okay, what does it mean to be converted?
Yeah.
Right? So for me, and I'll just share my own experience, my own definition, but for me to be converted is for me to be changed.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
For me to convert, so if I convert something, I change it.
Yeah.
If I convert my gasoline vehicle to a different type of fuel, it goes through a conversion process.
Right.
And it's the same with us. You know, we are natural men. If we look in Mosiah chapter 3, verse 19, "For the natural man is an enemy of God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever unless..."
Circle that word.
Seems like we talk about this every week.
I know.
"Unless he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father." I love that. And it's important, but because it helps me realize I need to be converted. I need to be changed. And I will be a natural man forever and ever unless I yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, the administrator of the atonement of Jesus Christ, and putteth off the natural man through the atonement of Jesus Christ. And then it remind that takes us, if we'll go from there.
Let me interrupt while you're looking up the scripture.
Yeah, please do.
What is repentance? Changing.
Yeah.
What is converting?
Yeah.
Changing.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about the same thing with two different words. And I think, you know, as we change daily, I go back to President Nielsen's invitation to find joy in repentance daily.
Yeah.
You know, are you finding joy in changing daily, in converting daily? Think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The next
and it requires that, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
That's a daily process for me.
Yeah. The talk from President Nielsen that talks about having confidence before the Lord.
Yeah.
To have charity.
Let your confidence wax strong in the presence of God.
And by doing that, you exercise charity and virtue. Yeah. And there's times that, you know, something will come into my head and I literally will say, virtue, virtue, virtue. Yeah. I literally repeat that word over and over in my head.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, virtue, virtue, virtue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when I'm angry or whatever. And then even charity, that is the pure love of Christ.
Right.
And there are times when I do not have love in my heart towards a situation or a circumstance, or even sometimes a person that is like, I'm not feeling very I don't feel like I have much charity right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great reminder. Those two words are pretty powerful for me.
You know, I read Mosiah 3:19, where we learn that we're natural man, enemy of God, all that. We also learn from that, that's through the atonement, that we can put off the natural man. I love this scripture also in Moroni chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 32 and 33, Deb. And the answer's here. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him. That's it. There's your answer. Come unto Christ and be perfected in him.
Completed. Doesn't perfect mean completed?
It means completed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So be completed in him or finished.
It's the only way we're going to do it.
Exactly.
By him and through him.
And as soon as I say, that's it, there's your answer right there. Everybody's like, oh, give me a break. Like, that's easy, right? Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you. And by his grace, ye may be perfect in Christ. So there it is. We're made complete. We're made perfect in Christ. We didn't earn it. He did.
Exactly.
Right? We're made perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God.
There you go.
We align with Christ's atonement, and we're bound to feel the power of God in our lives. This is the key. And again, if ye, by the grace of God, are perfect in Christ, and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that you become holy, without spot. Sanctification.
Yep.
Holy, without spot. I just want to have some of the spots that I bump up against in this mortal experience removed from me. This is a pretty grand promise.
Yeah.
Or a pretty grand doctrine here, Deb. And you know, for those of us who experience the fall in its various forms, which we all do, here's our answer. It's through Jesus Christ and only through him. Through, as Paul would say, through Christ Jesus and him crucified, that we're able to receive these conditional blessings of his atonement.
Well, I look forward to the day that I can become holy.
Yeah.
You know, that I can be perfected through Christ. And until then, we'll just keep muddling through this messy world and this life.
I'm thinking about you know, our listeners are listening for so many varied reasons. Some are struggling with addictions. I know for that for a fact. Some are struggling, you know, like alcoholism and even other types of addictions. And some are struggling with testimony. Some are struggling with the ability to feel the Spirit in their life because of some of the mental illnesses and stuff like that that we just experienced because of the fallen world, Deb.
The unfairness.
Yeah.
I just injustice.
I hope and pray that just somehow, some way, the Spirit can reach us through the things that we're sharing here and just somehow relieve us, put comfort in our hearts, put solution in our minds, and put, you know, the comfort of the Comforter to wrap us in His loving arms as we just go through life, which can be hard.
He can give us rest if we come to Him, and peace.
Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, we probably ought to close it up today, Deb, but just like we say every time, you know, we're glad you're all here. We hope you'll keep coming. We hope you feel welcome here. But above all that, we hope that you know that Jesus isn't just waiting for you to clean everything up. He's waiting for you to come to Him just the way you are.
Yep, He meets us in our mess, right in the middle of it. That's where His grace shines the brightest. And if we cry out, you know, we've heard a lot of stories about being in prison and being in the darkest of dark. I mean, you've shared your part of He'll come and meet us in it. In the mess, and His grace shines the brightest. So come as you are, broken, hopeful, questioning, searching. You're truly not alone. I wish I could see all of your faces and just give you a hug and a smile, because that's just who I am. Yeah. I just would love to see you all. You're not alone. That's the important part, is you're not alone.
In fact, we'd love to stay connected with you. Samantha in Brisbane, Australia. She's teaching the same class, Deb. Isn't that great?
I love it.
She sent a message on Facebook.
I would like to hear her teach.
She said that she has a tricky sister that lives in Oromuta, so I'm hoping that we get an opportunity to maybe meet her.
Meet
someday.
The tricky sister.
Yeah, but you know, if you like what you've been hearing here, if you like the hope that is being provided through the atonement of Jesus Christ, we know we're not professionals. We're just a couple of sinners trying to help sinners. We do feel an obligation because of the way that Heavenly Father has lifted us and given us some opportunities to share these things. We feel like we're obligated to do that, and we love doing it. So, you know, if you have any thoughts or questions, please email them to us. You can do that at heredeemsus@gmail.com.
Yeah, we read everyone. And if this episode touched your heart, we hope that you'll share it with someone you love, a friend, a family member, anyone who could use a little bit more hope right now.
Next week, we'll be continuing with the conditional effects of Christ's atonement. We've gotten through most of those, but next week we'll be talking about some big ones. They're all big ones. Some really important ones. Again, we'll be talking about reconciliation with God. We'll talk about becoming children of Christ. And then we're going to kind of take a little segue into the merits of Christ as part of His atonement. So we look forward to being with you then. Just remember, He lifts us, He transforms us, and He does it in our everyday lives. So hopefully we can apply what we're learning here.
We can be transformed.
Yeah.
Converted.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being with us, my friends, our friends. And remember, there is always hope through Him, because you have been redeemed through His blood.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. We'll look forward to being with you again next week. And until then, be well.